92.7 Business with Michael Avery.
We're sticking with the big news story of the early part of this new year, the Zondo Commission's report, and the first volume at least. And joining us now is Wayne Duvenage, who's head of the organisation Undoing Tax Abuse Outer. Wayne, happy new year. How significant is the release of this report? Because I'm sure there are plenty of cynics out there saying nothing is going to come of it.
Well, it's a very important report, Michael, in that this is no longer speculation. You know, up until now, a lot has been said in the media and through civil society. And while we've been hearing the judiciary or the Judicial Commission of Inquiry going forward, but now we have the report. The report now documents the findings and the recommendations. 4 years of work culminating now into these three parts. And it's extremely important because from here, so much can flow. In fact, so much should have flowed through the criminal justice system or the law enforcement agency's work, yet it hasn't. So now there's no room to hide. Now they've got to start acting because we've heard them say they were waiting for this, but they needn't have. But now that the waiting is over, let's see what happens, because we cannot allow this to gather dust. We cannot allow all of this work and this expense to come to naught. And it is up to us as civil society to put the pressure on government now to start acting on it.
And I want to pick up on that point because the amongst the many damning findings are findings against South Africa's law enforcement's complete failure to take on these corrupt entities and forces. And we saw Karen Morn writing that the MPA must now admit that it needs help. What do you see as the role of civil society in all of this?
Well, I think, Michael, what's quite important now is that we can't just do business as usual when it comes to these law enforcement agencies. You know, prior to the state capture inquiry and the commission's report, this country is just very busy tackling crime and corruption. And the NPA itself, aside from all of the stuff that's come out of this report, is extremely busy. It's got to tackle with corruption and maladministration and issues at local government, provincial, national, plus the general public issues that are happening day to day. So here we have a hijacking of the state with so much evidence, good cross-questioning through this process. And so you lump this on top of the already highly pressured NPA hawks, the whole criminal justice system, and I think that it's creaking now. There's not enough capacity to do this work. So what has to happen now, I think, is we've got to take a step back, both government, civil society, all these institutions and business if need be, and say, how do we do this differently? How do we bring in the help from those who can help? And we help. We've got a team that compiles, Section 27 referrals with all the evidence directly to the NPA. The work is done for them. In other words, they just have to verify it. Obviously, they can't just take everything that's given to them as foolproof. They've got to go through it and verify it. But if the work's done, they need to say, well, how can we do more of this? How can we get more resources into the hawks and the, or especially in the investigation space and into the NPA? And furthermore, what laws need to change? How do we open the door a little bit more without creating too many problems to enable civil society to assist and participate? Maybe there needs to be corruption courts introduced. And I like what the Zondo Commission said around this anti-corruption agency, where I think there needs to be more powers now given to these processes.
It sounds very similar to what when I chat to Hugh Glenister or Paul Hoffman of Accountability Now about where they call for this Chapter 9 institution that's independent, that's got the skills, very similar to the old Scorpions, but going one step further and saying it's not just about the inspectorate and the litigation unit, it's setting up specialized courts as well. And all of this monitoring public procurement, I mean, that can only be seen as a positive step in the systemic fight against corruption.
Extremely so, absolutely. And without that creating a vastly more transparent process that allows people to see, because when you start seeing things, procurement taking place, the flags go up faster because lots of eyes from civil society and the public watching what's going on. And we've got to stop some of these transactions before they take place. Otherwise, once the money changes hands and the contracts are signed, it becomes difficult to undo. So, yes, an entity that is a lot more separate from the state, with civil society input, oversight, participation, with powers, I think will go a long way to helping us fight corruption meaningfully, as opposed to so much spoken, but nothing, not much happens.
Now, back to my earlier point, and just to conclude, Wayne, if you're having a dinner conversation with a cynic out there who says, it was released, we've got the chairperson of the ANC, Gwede Mantashe, who's now come out to say, well, you know, these things should be used to help take some form of remedial action, really downplaying the seriousness of this, and that it's just going to gather dust in File 13. What is your response to that? What gives you confidence that we're actually going to see this as a turning point now?
Well, I think, besides the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, this is the biggest commission we've had in our new democracy. Well, it's no longer new. It's 30 years old, nearly. And it's a very big one. It's a very costly one. And it would remiss of us as civil society to allow nothing to happen. So we've got a lot of work to up the ante, to put pressure on government as citizens. Remember as well that there's 2 years to go to the national elections, the next national elections. The ANC is in a corner. It's going to, all predictions, be below 50%. And they're having their elections at the end of this year. So 2022 is a year of a lot of things that are going to happen in this space. It's a year of action, and we cannot allow it to gather dust, not for 1 minute. So I think you can see the activity around it, and I believe it's going to be quite an important document and an influential one in the goings-on within the ruling party, as well as the structures of government, parliament, and other areas throughout the year.
No, I like that thinking, though, and that attitude and outlook, because it is up to each and every one of us either to go out and fund civil society, an organization like OUTA or any one of the other organizations doing good work, and just ready to take control back. Over the holidays, I was visiting the Mandela capture site in the Midlands, and it was such a stark reminder. It was a few days after the passing of Desmond Tutu and a few days before the release of this report, just how far we've fallen, but also a reminder of the kind of grit and determination and the kind of people that we produce in South Africa, and we can pull it back from the brink. That's certainly the way I like to think about it as well. Thank you very much. Wayne Duvenage, the CEO and founder of OUTA, here on Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.